Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope, featuring our pastor, Rick Womack.
Whether it's physical healing, whether it's mental or emotional healing, whether it's heart healing for a spiritual condition, whether it's healing of a relationship that come back together, whatever. Number one is we just got to ask. Move forward. John chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We're going to look at about two or three verses. I want to ask you to stand as soon as you get there. John chapter 12. We're going to begin in verse number 12. John 12, 12. These are the words of Jesus. If you have a Bible, it may show up as red in your Bible or your app, whatever version you're using. Jesus says these things. He says these things right there. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone. Who does that say?
All of us.
Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to the Father. You can ask for anything in my name. Let me say that again. You can ask. You can ask. What have I got then? Well, thank you, James. Chapter 14. You know what? Jesus, take the wheel. Thank you. Oh, y'all were paying attention. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we need you now. So Holy Spirit, in every way, we ask you to saturate this service. God, you come and take control. Use my mouth, Lord. Use me as an instrument. Holy Spirit, open our ears that we could hear what you would say to us. We want to be willing and we want to be obedient, Lord. Thank you that, Father, no matter what comes against us, we are victorious and we are more than conquerors through Christ, and he loves us. And thank you, Lord, that we can't lose that love and we can't earn it anymore because you love us enough and it's sufficient. Father, I thank you for this time together. Jesus, you're the healer. We ask you now to heal. Heal hearts, heal marriages, heal broken places. Heal those bodies that are in need of a touch from you. Heal the mind and the emotions of those who need you right now. Thank you, Lord, that you want to do that as we come together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So John 14:12 says this. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name. And I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You may be seated. A real quick recap. These are the verses I was trying to get to earlier. Matthew chapter 8, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago. It says this in verse number 2. A man with leprosy came. I should not be there. It was last time. And knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Is Jesus willing?
Yes.
Is there ever a doubt that he is able? Okay. And then in John or Matthew, I'm stuck in John now. Matthew chapter 8, the same chapter, a few verses later, the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word. And my servant will be healed. And in both of these instances, what we see is that Jesus is doing something miraculous. In the first instance, he just touches the leper and the leper is healed. In the second instance, he speaks the word and the centurion servant is healed. And so we're building this together to understand that God is able to bring healing. And in this season of Christmas where we are, there's probably, I don't think, a better time to look at this together, because so many people hurt and so many people are in pain during this season. In fact, I had a pastor friend of mine when he was in South Florida. He preached a sermon series during Christmas that I thought was a pretty creative one. His sermon series title was Pain Meds, because so many people are in pain during this season. And we understand that, because anytime we lose loved ones and it's near a holiday of any sort, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever, it's always painful. It's always a challenge. Anytime we face an obstacle or a challenge in our life at any point of this season, it makes it hard for us. We have to sometimes just go through it and kind of grit our teeth and just know that God is with us. But then last week we looked at this verse from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 and 4. It says that he, being Jesus — this was a messianic prophecy, it was a prophesying about the Messiah — he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. And then I went into this crazy little skit and I said, he surely took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. And I began to, y'all remember this last week, I began to get multiple coats, and there's pictures on Facebook, and I got several coats and I put them on. And why did I do that? Because Jesus understands that the place in your life right now, the prophet Isaiah was prophesying and he was saying, you know what? You got cancer? Let me put that on for you. You got a cold? Let me put that on for you. You don't have to wear it. I'm going to wear it for you. And that's what Jesus does. He comes and he takes those things and he wears them for us. Why? So that we don't have to wear them. So just a quick recap. We're building from that platform. Then we look at the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, where he says, the things that I've done, you're going to do even greater things. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is just ask. So what is asking? It's praying. We're in this sermon series called Healer, and today I want to talk about prayer. And today's sermon title is brought to you by something I said last week. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Some of you have a song going through your head right now, right? Hold on to that feeling. I'm just kidding. But don't stop believing. What is prayer? Prayer is an act of faith. Bump that up to about 65, because I know y'all are cold. Those are on 70 back there, I think, so. Prayer is an act of faith. You ever think about the fact that when we pray, we're praying to a God whom we've never seen? Think about that. And we're praying based on scripture or Bible passages that we trust are true. Prayer is not a feeling. Prayer is not a hope. Prayer is not based on circumstances. What is prayer based on? Prayer is based on who God is and the word that he has for us. And we can say that those words and that person is true. Prayer is an act of dependence on him. Sometimes, be honest, it's an act of desperation. It's crying out, Lord, I need you now more than ever. I don't understand what I'm going through right now, but I trust that you're able. That whatever I'm facing right now, or whatever my family is facing right now, God, you are able to get me through it. God says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if we are going to live in this life, in this world, if we're going to be successful in this journey with Christ, we got to realize that not everything that we see is true. Because we live by faith, not by sight. You see, when my wife went to the doctor, there was a report that the doctor delivered. That report was true, but it wasn't true. Because God's word is greater. Let me go into this real quickly. Five reasons why we don't have prayers answered. Five reasons prayers aren't answered. Reason number one, you want to guess what it is? We don't ask. It's pretty simple, guys. We don't ask. James chapter 4, he says, "You do not." This is part C of that. It's like the third sentence in James chapter 4, verse 2. He says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." It's kind of like a concert ticket. If you and I are going to go see, let's just go back old school. Let's go to Carmen. How many of y'all remember Carmen? Champion. Okay, so we're going to go see a Carmen ticket or a Carmen concert. Some people call him the Christian talker, but there's a whole lot of Christian talkers now. Anyways, so we're going to go see Carmen, the Christian talker, and we call ahead and we say, you know what, I want to go see Carmen. I'm going to pay $13.50 for a ticket, and then it's going to be $2.99 for a service charge because they got to make their money too. So I need 10 tickets, so we're all going to go see Carmen, and I'll pick them up at the window. What is that called? Will call. If I go to see Carmen, but I never get my tickets, do I have access? I don't have access, but do I have availability? I do have availability. And just because you have access, you won't have availability if you don't go get it. And James is writing, he says, you don't have because you don't ask. You don't go retrieve the ticket. That's why you don't have. So you've got to go to the ticket window and take and say, this is what is available for me. I'm going to receive what is available to me. So imagine. Imagine that God wants you to have something, but you don't ask. We pray for our food. We pray for our nation. We pray for whatever. You know, we come in. Some of us probably have prayer lists that are super long, and some of us have prayer lists that are super short. Okay? But imagine that God has something for me. You're like me. What? Let me see. No, I need a little bit stronger than that. Can you read that very well without these? You can't. Okay. I want you to read something. You need me to help you out?
And God said, let there be light.
Let there be light.
But I'm reading from a different chapter.
And reading glasses.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Okay. And I'm not picking on you because I got reading glasses. See, mine are right up there. So, do you need these? Okay. I want you to read that. That's not very nice. You just put your hand out like, give me. Oh, he asked. He asked. So I just give it to him. He had need of something, but if he never asks for it, he may never get it. Sometimes the things we're missing in life are the things we're not asking for. Why aren't we asking? What's the worst that can happen? He tells you no. Or he says, not yet. Because sometimes no just means not yet. I'm not ready. You're not ready. They're not ready. It's not ready. But we won't ever get ready if we don't ask. It's really simple. Five reasons why prayer isn't answered. Why we don't have healing when we need healing for whatever part of our life. Whether it's physical healing, whether it's mental or emotional healing, whether it's heart healing for a spiritual condition, whether it's healing of a relationship that come back together, whatever. Number one is we just got to ask. Just ask. Psalms chapter 37 verse 4 says this. He says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, Psalms is a different type of poetry. This is poetry. Okay? I went on the internet. You always have to be careful on the internet. Because I wanted to find some poetry that was similar to poetry like we understand. Because we are Westerners, right? So we understand poetry differently. We understand poetry is kind of like rhyming. We like the words to rhyme. Hebrew poetry, the ideas matched. So you see delight, desire. You see that? There's kind of a parallel there. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. So the ideas match. That's the way they do. That's the understanding of Hebrew poetry. So, you know, in Westerners, we've got like roses are red and violets are blue, right? Guys, if you're taking notes, February 14th is coming up. Here you go, some poetry. Roses are red, violets are blue. The center of my world begins and ends with you. Man, it would be really nice if we had some piano music while I did this. You know, I'm just kidding. Okay, I got two more. Ready? Roses are red, violets are blue. The way that you kissed me, woo. See? Y'all like that one. All right, and this one's for you ladies when your husband comes in after doing yard work. Roses are red, violets are blue. You don't always smell good, but I still love you. But Hebrew poetry focuses on the idea. It's not focused on the rhyming of the words. So David is writing here, and he says, if you will delight yourself in the Lord, then He will give you the desires of your heart. Do you understand how that happens? It's because as we are delighting ourselves in the Lord, as we are getting this relationship right with Him first, then our heart's desires become His desires, and He is happy to give us our heart's desires because they are His desires. Because then your heart is shaped more like Christ. So you have this recurrent idea of delight and desire. So why don't we ask? Some of us doubt that He hears us. Some of us are afraid of failure. Some of us are afraid of disappointment. Bottom line is sometimes we don't have answers to prayer because we don't ask. Second reason is this. We ask, but we don't believe. I think somebody said that. I wonder how many times we pray faithless, routine, rote, mechanical prayers. I was reading a story about a Sunday school teacher who was teaching, and the prayer request went up. I don't remember what the request was, and it was a small group, and the Sunday school teacher was much like I was this morning, scattered. Okay? I don't like that, just so you know. I'm going to work on Rick, and I'll take all the rebuke you want to give me, but Sunday school teacher was scattered, and so the Sunday school is trying to get everything, you know, situated and ordered and everything right and everything. And prayer, okay, what prayer request we got? Okay, we need to pray for so-and-so's something or another. It's got to be done something or another. Okay, Randall, I just need you to pray for that person over there. Just scattered, shuffling papers, trying to get everything right. And so Randall says, Lord, we thank you that you're able to heal. We just ask you right now to just bring this healing to this something or another, for the something or another, and so that something or another will be better. In Jesus' name, amen. And just kind of goes through a mechanical, rote, routine prayer. Come on. I know I'm not the only one that's done that. And I'm not going to put anybody else under the gun here this morning. I'll just put me under the gun. Because I know I've done that. I know I've prayed and wanted God to heal or wanted God to move. But really, probably and truly, if you were to stuck a thermometer in here inside of Rick that measured faith, it would read flat. Zero. Because there was zero expectancy that God heard the prayer, would answer the prayer, or was able to answer the prayer. All I was doing was satisfying the wishes of somebody, some Sunday school teacher that wanted me to stand up and pray. I know I have done that. I don't think I'm the only one. So when we ask, we don't just have to ask, but we have to believe. We have to believe that when we cry out to God, He hears us. I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again this week, and I'm probably going to say it again next week. We don't pray if prayers. Lord, if it be your will, heal this person. Lord, it is your will. Heal them in Jesus' name. The outcome may not be what you think it will be. God the Father may say their time on earth is up, but that's okay. Let Him decide that, because they still get healed. So no more if prayers. What is an if prayer? It's doubt. Randall, if you'd really like to, you could give me $1,000. Guess what I just gave him? I gave him an out. And I have zero confidence that he's going to give me $1,000. Can he give me $1,000? I'm sure he can. Will I receive it? Here's the problem. I'm not expecting it. Why don't I expect it? Because I said if. James says it this way. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask. Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe. Now, he's talking about wisdom here, okay? So this is just specifically talking. I don't want to say he's talking about healing here. He's talking about wisdom. What I want you to see is the underlying theme that when you ask for something, you've got to believe what you're asking for. Because he's saying, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So watch this progression. If you lack, ask. When you ask, believe. And when you believe, you receive. What's the disconnect? Doubt. Doubt is the disconnect. How many of you, I know for me, how many of you have cried out when you saw the car oncoming and you knew that a collision was getting ready to take place? Maybe you've been in that scenario. Or you've been on the ski slopes. That's a dangerous thing, by the way. Or you've been on the ski slopes and you knew that the tree had been there a lot longer than you had. And it wasn't moving, but you were. And so you called out to the Father. When you call out in that moment, do you really think He's going to answer? Yeah, you do. You do. The day I was driving south, I've said this story, south of Macon, I was headed to Albany, Georgia. It was the day that Atlanta flooded. That's what I call it. And I was south of Macon, and I was holding the middle lane. I was doing about 45 miles an hour, and somebody else came up on the right side to pass me. And it was three lanes there, and I never saw this person. I was just focused because it was pouring down rain. And that person hydroplaned into the side of my vehicle. The next thing I know, I'm doing 45 miles an hour, and I'm looking at the semi. Dear Lord, I need you now. Did I believe he could answer that prayer? You better believe I did. So why don't we believe when we lay hands on the sick and say, you know what, migraine in the name of Jesus, be gone. It's what we got to do. We got to believe with that same kind of tenacity, that same kind of faith, that same kind of urgency. Urgency. You see, in that moment of crisis, I called out to God the Father and I expected that He would hear my cry and He would rescue me. We have to believe. The third thing real quickly is we ask for the wrong reasons. I want to introduce you to the Ness family. Ness, N-E-S-S. We'll get to them in just a minute. James says this in chapter 4, verse 3. If I can get it to cooperate with me. Go. 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 Got it on? There it is. When you ask, you do not receive. Because you ask with the wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. When you ask, you don't receive because the reason you're asking is selfish. Selfish. You see, Jesus invited us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. That invitation is an invitation for self to be done and gone. Folks, we can't hang on to both. God's kingdom and my kingdom. I got to choose one or the other. I've got to choose one or the other. You have to choose one or the other. God is not some vending machine in the sky where you go drop a quarter in and say, God, I need this. because this will satisfy me, this will make me happy, this will meet my need for now. It's not just that there's anything wrong with having wants. The problem is when the wants have us. You get it? James in chapter 4, he gives us an introduction to the nest family. In the first few verses, he talks about quarrelsomeness, contentious living. He's encouraging them to be at peace. And then he talks about prayerlessness. And in this prayerlessness, he talks about selfishness. And then he wraps it up by talking about worldliness. You just read James 4 and look at the nest family. 1 John 3 says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And we receive anything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him." Do you see that? Do what pleases Him. That you may spend what you get on your own pleasures, those things that please you. So in my prayer life, in your prayer life, as we're calling out to God for healing or whatever the need is, what's the motive? Is it for my own pleasing, or is it so that I can do what pleases Him? Number 4, very quickly, we give up. We just give up. This is kind of the heart of the message, but I'm going to make it very quick. Luke records in his gospel two parables, and hopefully I have the numbers correct. If they're not correct, tell me. Chapter 11, teaching them more about prayer, he uses a story. He says, "Suppose one of you went to a friend's house at midnight and wanted to borrow 3 loaves of bread." Okay, this was a friend. Midnight. This was in a culture where everybody would sleep in the same room. They were all probably huddled together for the sake of warmth. And David Reeves shows up at my house. "Hey, Pastor Rick, I need 3 loaves of bread." Dude, Flash Foods was a whole lot closer. Just saying. And you say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, 'Don't bother me.'" Well, he woke everybody up at that point. But anyways, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever your need because of your shameless persistence." I think this is the New Living Translation that I used. And so I tell you, Jesus says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So Jesus gives us this parable in Luke 11 that we have to have a shameless persistence to keep asking. So why don't our prayers get answered sometimes? Number 4 reason. Let me fast forward. Because we give up. I'm clicking over here and I got nothing. We're going to replace the batteries here one of these days. The next parable that he gives us is Luke 18 verses 1 through 8. I'm going to fast forward through that. You can jot that down. But in both of those parables, what Jesus is teaching us, both in the book of Luke, he teaches us at two different points. He teaches us about the need for persistence in prayer. We got to keep on asking. So your husband isn't serving the Lord like he should. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. I know it's been 10 years. I know it's been 10 months. I know it's been 20 years. Don't you give up. So God hasn't brought that someone into my life. Don't you give up. So God still hasn't healed me of being deaf in my left ear, and I'm still deaf in my left ear, but I got to not give up. I got to keep on believing. I got to have a shameless sense of urgency and persistence that God is going to answer that prayer, and He's going to do it. Because He can. Number five. Told you we were going to dance with that thing. Number five, real quickly. We ask, and our lives aren't right with Him. I want to ask you to pause for a minute. Karen, will you come up? Because I'm going to land this plane, and I'm going to land it right here. Your life, my life, our God is Creator. Our God is Abba. He's Father. Some people call Him Daddy. He's not offended by that. Call Him Daddy. He's Father God. He can meet you regardless of where your need is. He can meet you there. But before we call out to Him for that need, we need to call out to Him for our need. Because His message, I started this service this way, His message was this: repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So if there's something that's skewed in your life, something amiss, something that's not right, your heart's not right, there's sin. Maybe it's not, I'm addicted to something. Maybe it's, I'm just ticked off with my brother over there and I can't stand to look at him. Or maybe it's, I can't believe she said that to me today. Or I can't forgive that person for what they did when I was 13 years old. It's called unforgiveness. It doesn't minimize the pain that you have lived with for whatever number of years. But the reality is that forgiveness is not holding them in lockdown. It's holding you in lockdown. So before we ask Him to heal that person, that need, that sickness, we need to start with ourselves. God, what is my heart condition? What is the status or the appearance of my heart before You? What does it look like to You? Do I stand before? I'm asking You some subjective questions because I want You to answer some of them. Do I stand before You right now as someone who can honestly be seen as a son of the Most High God? Not the Son of God, but a son or a daughter of the Most High. Or am I standing here? Jesus talked about hypocrites. Really just means play acting. Putting on a face, putting on a smile. Come on, church. Who do we think we can hide from? I've got a testimony I want to ask someone to come up and share, and then I'm probably going to ask Darcy. You're probably going to be next. She's like, okay. Kristen, come up here for a minute. I want this to encourage you for a moment. And I thank you for your boldness. I reached out to her early this morning. I messaged her and she said, I love to stand in front of people with a microphone and talk. But make sure this is up loud enough, okay? She has a testimony about how God answers prayer. Darcy, you come on up too. You know what it's about. You stand with her.
Basically, we had been trying to get pregnant for about a year. I get emotional when I think about how blessed we are. And we decided to go. We prayed about it. We decided to go to the doctor, and just, we didn't think anything was wrong, but we just wanted to have everything, you know, check up. On the very first visit, they did blood work and different stuff, and the doctor came back in the room and she said, if it's what I think it is, I just want to go ahead and tell you, you may never be able to have another child. And to go into a doctor's office and think that there's nothing wrong and then be told that, it was rough. And I had some depression from it. And I think the devil, because it hit me so hard, the devil took it and ran with it. I felt like something was wrong with me. I wasn't good enough. I was scared to share my demons with anybody because I felt like we'd only been trying for a year, and there's people who've been trying for a lot longer, and at least we had a child. Some people don't. And one Sunday in church, you said, Pastor Rick, you said the verse, where two or more gathered together in his name. And God just placed it on my heart. He said, look, you've been dealing with this by yourself, and you need to have the courage and ask for somebody to share in that prayer with you. And it wasn't an instant fix, of course, but a couple of months later, I was actually on the way to the doctor. And I haven't even told Austin this because I cry every time I think about it, but I've always heard people say, God speaks to you. And I'd never actually really had where I felt like God actually had come out and spoke to me. And I was on the way to the doctor. I was by myself, and I was just praying. And it was like somebody was sitting in the van with me, and he said, be still, my child, for I've heard the desires of your heart. And I knew then everything was... I didn't know when, but I knew everything was going to be okay, and it would happen in his timing. So because of patience and trust, we got blessed with two instead of one.
RC, I just want you to talk about that day. You were with us when we prayed. I know this is totally spontaneous and you didn't know this was coming, but just talk about that day when we prayed for Kristen.
Well, it's just an honor. I just was walking by, and Pastor Rick and was sitting with Kristen, and he said, Darcy, come here, pray. Come here, you come here too, which honestly, in my life, the Lord has drawn me into situations where women haven't been able to get pregnant, and Pastor Rick didn't know that. The Lord did, and so I was like, wow. So I just considered it a great honor just to be able to sit in and pray also, and then to see how the Lord answers, because he's always faithful. And it isn't anything about who was there to pray, but it's who we're praying to.
Yes.
And he's, answer, we have the four children after years of barrenness. And just to see him work. It's just so cool. In the United States, there's a few babies that the Lord pulled me in that now they had babies. And there's two in India that they just found our name on the internet. And the Lord, just what a privilege to be involved in what he's doing. And that he is so faithful and honors our heart, and takes care of us. And so it's painful sometimes, but if we don't give up, then we will surely see the answer come.
Amen. Thank you, Darcy. I want to ask you to stand this morning. I really don't have a concept of time right now, so that probably is good. I guess if you start to leave, then I'll know somebody's got something in the crock pot, I guess. Guys, there are, I'm just blown away at the Holy Spirit. I don't remember when I preached that or what I preached that day or anything. I remember Kristen saying, Pastor Rick, I need prayer. And I remember seeing Darcy, and so we needed to agree together, and I'm sure Darcy took it on, and I know we took it on as a continued prayer request. Kristen and family, thank you for sharing your story with us today. Thank you for just being obedient to the Lord. She just asked. She'd reached a place in her heart where she knew, I can't carry this anymore by myself. Some of you here today, I think, are carrying things by yourself. And I want to give you permission that you don't have to carry it alone anymore. So, with that being said, I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. I know of at least two directions I want to go with this altar call this morning. The first is just the heart condition. I want to know that your heart is right, that you are serving the Lord, that you are right with the Lord, that you and God have a relationship. I want to know that you know who Jesus is as Lord and Savior. It's just very simple. Because before you ever call out to Him to ask Him to bless that pork chop you're going to eat today, you need to know who you're talking to. You just need to know who you're talking to. And if you don't know who He is, a relationship with Him will be the greatest decision you will ever make. And so this morning I want to offer you that choice first. I want to offer that chance. For you, if you would say to me, Pastor Rick, I need to commit my life to Christ, or I need to recommit my life to Christ. I need to surrender again. If that's you, I want to ask you to slip up a hand real quickly. Just let me see it. Thank you. Others? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. This is not to put anybody on the spot. I'm going to ask you to come up in just a minute, but there's another part of this altar call that I feel particularly strong about this morning. Look at me for a second. Open your eyes back up. Guys, I want to say something to you. The biggest mistake you can make in your life is to make this journey with Christ alone. Alone. Don't do it. Lay down your pride. Men, lay down your pride. We are a body. And you might happen to be an elbow, and I'm a hand. And if you're not connected to the arm, we're both in trouble. So don't do it. We got to stay connected. Because the enemy will work. This season of Christmas, we're not having a service tonight. You know, we have a first Sunday night service, and maybe even that was wrong. I don't know, but everything just, it's like, puts the accelerator down, and you started out, and it's like you ate on Thanksgiving and you had a food baby, right? And then you watch football, and then from there to New Year's, it's like a blur, because life gets so hectic and so frantic. And the enemy will do everything he can to speed up your pace, to busy up your schedule, to tie you up so you don't have time for you and God, or you and a brother or sister in Christ whom you need. Don't do it. So this is going to be, this is not just for guys, this is for ladies too, because I see some faces. If you would say to me this morning, and this, I'm going to leave you with your eyes up. It's going to take courage. If you would say to me this morning, Pastor Rick, this morning, I feel isolated. I feel all alone. And I need prayer. Mountain Gap Church, I'm getting ready to put you on notice. If there's somebody that comes up here and they say they need prayer, don't make me beg you to get out of your seat. Will you just get up and come? Mountain Gap Church, I'm going to put you on notice. If you see somebody that needs somebody to stand with them, will you get up out of your seat and come up and pray with them? Okay. I didn't get anything. I didn't know who I was talking to. All I know is you got the heat working really well right now, Tommy. So if you're alone, if you would say to me, Pastor Rick, I feel isolated and all alone right now, and I just need some comfort from God's people, would you get up and come? Right now, would you come? Come on up. Come on up. There's people all over this place. Come on up. Stand with someone. Come on up.
Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.